From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where, starting this week, all teenagers 16 and older in Massachusetts are eligible to get the coronavirus vaccine, and the shots may soon be approved for even younger children. While some parents are eager to get their children vaccinated, others are skeptical. Joining us now to talk about this is WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker, who's been following the story. Hey, Deb, how's it going?
Okay, how are you, Paris?
I'm doing well. So, Deb, it sounds like there's a wide range of feelings among parents of teenagers about whether their kids should get the vaccine or not.
Right. Well, I would say most of the parents that I spoke with want their teenagers to get the vaccine. They say they want them to return to school, they want them to be with others, and they want to feel comfortable that their kids are safe. Here is Becky Bailey of Amesbury. She told me that for her 16-year-old, she would try multiple ways to get the shot, including calling her town's vaccine clinic.
I'll call there. I'll try CVS. I'll multi-pronged approach to try to find her a vaccine.
But other parents I spoke with, like Rachel Yovan of Dudley, say no. Yovan says not enough is known about the vaccines, and her 16 and 17-year-olds will not be getting them.
Until we know long-term effects of this, I don't think that it's worth the risk. I think we're healthy enough to fight it off on our own. So I guess in a way, I'm kind of thinking, don't fix something that's not broken.
And I should say, neither Rachel nor her husband are getting the vaccine either.
Yeah, this is a personal decision for everyone. But for some families, there really isn't a choice, is there?
Well, no one's forcing vaccines at the moment, but some colleges are requiring incoming students to get the shots to be able to come to campus this fall. And I spoke about this with Heather Hill of Arlington. She says she'll be relieved once her college-bound 18-year-old daughter is vaccinated.
I just think from a public health perspective, I, as a parent, I'm going to feel more secure sending my child to college if I know there's a low risk of her catching COVID while at college.
Hill also wants her 12 and 15-year-old children to get the shots soon.
Our kids are going to camp, and it's a sleepaway camp in rural Wisconsin. And so we have our fingers crossed that they can get vaccinated before they leave.
But kids in that age group can't get vaccinated yet, right?
Not yet. As of now, Pfizer is the only vaccine approved for use in those 16 to 18 years old. But Pfizer has applied for emergency use authorization to give the shots to 12 to 15-year-olds. Moderna is studying its vaccine in younger kids. And I spoke with some parents whose children are involved in the vaccine clinical trials. One mom I talked with said her 6-year-old is proud to be helping researchers examine the vaccine in her age group. But of course, some parents are leery about younger kids. Holly Robbins of Charlton says she's not anti-vax per se, but she's skeptical about her 12-year-old getting the shot, especially after the pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine last week.
I don't know, for lack of a better term, I don't want my son being like a guinea pig for the government with vaccines. And I don't think that this one has been through enough trials that I think it's safe.
Robbins also says she will not be getting the vaccine either. She says all of her family members already had COVID, mild cases, so they won't be getting the shots.
And what are medical professionals saying about vaccinating kids under 18?
Many doctors say vaccinating the more than 1 million Massachusetts residents under the age of 18 will provide immunity to more people and then help subdue the virus. Dr. Rick Malley is in the infectious disease division at Boston's Children's Hospital, and he says even though most children don't get as severely ill from COVID, they can still spread it to others.
It's a very good development to try to, you know, encourage young people who may not be at highest risk of bad disease, but could be, in fact, transmitting, could still get sick, they could have long COVID.
And while more than 3 million pediatric coronavirus cases have been reported nationwide, Dr. Malley says it's likely that that's an undercount, because children are not tested as frequently as adults. And he predicts that the next debate will be whether to mandate vaccines for children and whether even infants should get the shot.
Well, there definitely sounds like there will be a lot more debate to come. But for now, that's WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. State lawmakers are moving to further prohibit the use of military assault weapons. A new bill filed today on Beacon Hill would ban the sale of these kinds of guns manufactured in Massachusetts to private citizens anywhere in the country. We should note that state law already bans the sale of such weapons in the Commonwealth. Representative Marjorie Decker is a co-author of the bill.
These very same assault weapons, which could have never been sold here in Massachusetts, have been sold to private citizens across the country. And we have the ability to make a choice. We're going to hold ourselves to the same standards nationally that we do here in the state.
And speaking of accountability, jury selection kicked off today in the federal fraud trial of former Fall River Mayor Jaisal Correa. Correa faces 24 federal criminal counts, among them defrauding investors of his now-defunct app Snow Owl, extorting marijuana companies for bribes in order to set up shop in Fall River, and lying to the IRS. The trial is also notable because it's one of the first jury trials to be held in person in Massachusetts since the start of the pandemic. Jurors and the courtroom audience will, of course, be socially distanced and required to wear masks. And finally, we go to another courtroom across the country in Minneapolis, where we have a verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. As you've probably already been hearing, the jury has found the former Minneapolis police officer guilty on all three counts in the trial for the murder of George Floyd last May. This story has affected so many of us in so many different ways. For me personally, it has meant being more intentional about my job as a journalist and doing that job as a Black woman. Some of you may remember over the summer, during a conversation with GBH's Saraya Wintersmith, she and I pulled back the curtain and checked in a bit and admitted that we were both feeling the weight of everything going on, heavily. That feeling hasn't gone away, but I will say, it sure does help to have loyal listeners like you to share this moment with and learn and grow together in the process. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, and in the meantime, y'all be sure to take care of yourselves. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. By the way, every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, sets out to make sense of the world together, from the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment and much more. On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.